We're talking about emergency preparedness for things like earthquakes and tsunamis. Joining us this morning, Jessica Schwarz, Josephine County Emergency Manager, and Dr. Althea Rizzo from the Oregon Emergency Management Agency. Jessica and Althea, welcome this morning.
Hi, Milt. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I would like to ask a question, first of all, to Dr. Rizzo. Every now and then we have a major emergency, and it's part of your job to go around and educate people to try to prepare for these things. And whether it's something like Fukushima and the potential of a tsunami, or, of course, we live in an earthquake zone through here, I was wondering, could you tell me a little bit about the psychology of it? Why do we have people who, you know, it seems like folks panic initially, but then afterwards, they don't seem to follow through on any kind of preparedness for the next big event that may be coming along.
Well, it is a very common thing that I deal with in my job, is that people don't think that this kind of thing happens to them. And so it's really important that people understand that when you get ready for one type of emergency, you're getting ready for all types of emergencies. So it's much more than just getting prepared for earthquakes. It's getting ready for winter storms and forest fire season. And so it's just common psychology that people don't think that it can happen to them.
Jessica, tell us a little bit about the forum that Josephine County is hosting tomorrow. Who's invited to that, where it will be, and what some of the elements of it will be.
Sure, you bet, Milt. I would also like to say that Jackson County is also hosting a similar forum this afternoon. So both Jackson County will be hosting an earthquake preparedness forum, which is open to the public. It will be today from 1 to 4 at the Smolin Center in Medford. And then tomorrow, Josephine County will be hosting Althea, who's doing both of these forums for us. Tomorrow from 1 to 4 at the Josephine County Fairgrounds in the Floral Building. And anyone's welcome to attend. There's no RSVP for either event. Just come and show up and learn and engage, and it'll be a great forum. Althea's done this all over the state, and we're excited to have her back.
Let me ask, which is the bigger threat? This is for Dr. Rizzo. Which is a bigger threat? Is it the tsunamis or the earthquakes? What's the biggest problem that Oregon might potentially face?
Well, one of the most widespread damage will be the earthquake, because it will affect from Northern California all the way up to British Columbia and well east of the Cascades. The tsunami will be very devastating, but that's a very narrow strip along the coast area. So really the earthquake is the larger hazard.
And we often hear about California and the potential for earthquakes, and certainly with large population centers like in Los Angeles or San Francisco, and we've seen the damage, of course, back in 1906 from the San Francisco quake. I mean, is the potential for a major earthquake just as high in Oregon, or is it a little bit less? I know we're talking about, I guess, the Cascadia subduction zone. What is our potential for a major quake in Oregon?
Sure. Recent studies out of the Oregon State University have suggested that it's up to about a 37% in the next 50 years. So that's a really high probability for this type of hazard. Now, we don't get a lot of these sort of mid-range sizes, but California does get the fives and sixes. When we do get them, they tend to be very large.
Are we talking about like a magnitude 8? I mean, what would you classify as a major quake in this area?
The Cascadia subduction zone can certainly give us anything from an 8 to a 9 to a 9.2.
Well, I would imagine with I-5 being such a vital corridor for transporting goods and people, this could be terribly disruptive for a long time. There's probably no plan B if there were widespread destruction along that.
Not at this point. There's not a lot of plan Bs. That's why it's really important for the individual to understand that they could be on their own for, you know, up to 3 weeks and make preparedness efforts along that route. And, you know, preparedness does not have to be huge and expensive. It can be as simple as, you know, buying some extra water and stashing it away each month. It can be other simple things like knowing you have a flashlight with, you know, fresh batteries or a wind-up radio. You know, preparedness does not have to be huge and scary. We do preparedness things all the time, all kinds of behaviors, from making sure we have air in our tire, gas in our tank. And so this is really just kind of thinking on a little bit higher level and doing a little bit extra.
I was going to ask this question a little bit later in the discussion, but I'll bring it up now since you mentioned these things. We've become a society that really loves our technology and tends to rely on it. I've seen stories on the news of mountain climbers who've fallen and broken a leg, and they just call for help on their cell phone. Have we become too reliant on technology when we're facing a major emergency?
Oh, I don't know if we're too reliant on technology, but we do know that it won't be there much after an event like this. You know, we can use technology to get better prepared. Folks can go online and learn about this. We know that cell phones will probably not be active after an event like this. So it is something that people need to think about. It kind of blows us back to the 1990s when we didn't have our cell phones handy.
Jessica, let me ask you a little bit about Josephine County. You're the emergency manager for there. What are some of the things that you're trying to do countywide to help people prepare?
Sure. Well, you know, not only is the earthquake a big risk that we think about and we plan for, but we also have floods and wildfires and the potential for a pandemic event, like in 2009 when we had the scare of this kind of mega flu. And I think, like Althea discussed earlier, there is a real sense of, like, this is so big that I don't know where to start, maybe with the earthquake. But, you know, when we do prepare for one event, it's really a scale kind of issue on how long we're planning for. And I think, you know, especially if you've got kids, it's really important to get them involved. There's some great guidance out there at ready.gov. We can make it fun. We can make it a game. We can have the kids kind of hunt around and look at things that we already have in our home that we can put into a kit and make a plan. And anyone who thinks they're already ready, I would challenge them to go what we call grid down for the weekend and see, you know, if you turn your power off and you turn your cell phone off and your water off, how many times you go to flip that handle on the sink. And you know, when you discuss that roads and bridges will be down after a large event like the Cascadia earthquake, we also look at power being down and water and sewer and communication lines and natural gas. So it's really quite a large event, but we do look at, you know, wildfires every summer and winter storms every winter. And so being prepared is really about a mindset, and it's another form of insurance.
I would think that Josephine County would be one of those counties that faces a challenge where you've got certainly a concentrated population around Grants Pass, but you have a lot of rural area where it would be awfully hard to find out how people are doing or how they've been affected.
It is. And really across the state, in a larger event like this, we will be all very isolated, especially the coastal areas. So knowing, you know, some first aid training, having some things already planned and in place and a family communication plan, these things are very, very important for people to take seriously. And you had mentioned technology earlier. I would say that while technology might be out during an event like the Cascadia earthquake, for a wildfire, it can be very helpful to know what the evacuation plan is for the fire that's in your area. So I would also encourage and take the chance to plug that we have a Facebook page and a Twitter account that people can follow us on, Josephine County Emergency Preparedness, and find out what's going on a daily basis around our area.
If you'd like to join our discussion today, we're talking about preparedness for earthquakes or tsunamis or any big thing that might come along. And you can join the conversation anywhere in the listening area at 800-838-3760, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email. You can send us a question, jx@jeffnet.org. Dr. Rizzo, I can recall not too long ago, 2 or 3 years ago, it seems like, some folks came down from Portland or wherever, and they were doing some seismic studies, I think, on buildings in Medford. looking at schools and government buildings to try to determine if they were seismically stable. I'll ask kind of a broad question. How's Oregon doing on that? Some of our buildings are quite old, I know.
Yeah, most of our infrastructure and building was built before we had our first seismic codes here in Oregon in 1990. So as it stands right now, we have a pretty fragile infrastructure. You know, we hope that Mother Nature gives us the 50 to 75 years we need to fix all of our bad buildings and bad bridges. That takes time, and it's a process. Knowing that Cascadia is such a hazard is really kind of a new thing. We didn't know about it before about 1980, 85. So we have a lot of catching up to do.
Earlier we talked a little bit, Dr. Rizzo, about people preparing. What are some of the things that folks overlook? You mentioned that just having, you know, a supply of water, some food, and some communication plans, things like that. Are there some really important things that families overlook?
Yeah, everybody knows that we need food and water and medicine. But what they sometimes forget are comfort items. When Cascadia happens, it's not going to be a single event. There will be hundreds, if not thousands, of aftershocks. And, you know, we're going to be awesome those first few days. We're going to pull together and we're going to help each other. But as this event drags out over weeks and months and we're having constant aftershocks, mental health is a huge issue after these large subduction zone earthquakes. And so having comfort items that don't rely on power is very important. Having a favorite book or coloring or art supplies or whatever it is that we can do to keep our more vulnerable populations, such as children, occupied and moving in a positive direction and making sure that they're comforted throughout this event.
Well, that kind of dovetails into my next question I was going to ask. You mentioned young children, and I don't know which one of you this would be better to answer this question. There's always a concern about elderly and some of their needs and inability to, you know, in many cases they're not mobile, they're isolated. Do we have plans in place? Does Josephine County have a plan in place to help folks who, you know, need some extra help in case of a big earthquake?
Well, Milt, I'll start with some of the smaller events. Across both Josephine and Jackson County, we've got the Rogue Valley Council of Governments has started several years ago, actually, a disaster registry that folks can get online. This Rogue Valley Council of Governments, get online. You can look up the disaster registry and sign up either yourself or a family member. That puts you into a database that's only accessible by a handful of first responders for planning and response purposes. This works great during, say, a wildfire or a flood or a winter storm, and we need to reach out and contact people in a particular area. However, the giant caveat and gorilla in the room is that during a large earthquake, we are going to be so isolated without communications possibly. First responders, there's just not enough to go around. So really knowing your neighbor, having family plans, having somebody that you can rely on other than, I hate to say, don't wait for us to come, but that's really kind of the reality.
Do you have like a command center that goes into operation for something big like this?
We do. We have, the county has an emergency operations center, which is co-located with our search and rescue facility, and we work very closely with both our local, regional, and state partners. We collaborate a lot on planning and exercising and training. We also do have a mobile command that we can take out into the field. It really kind of depends on the incident, and there are other mobile commands in the area, and that's really a way for first responders to have kind of a hub out in the field other than hunkering down in a tent. But and that allows us to have some tools, some visual displays and whatnot. But, yeah, and the Emergency Operations Center also has a call center, which we activated during the wildfires last year. We took over 1,000 phone calls within 7 days, letting folks know kind of where the evacuation routes were and what they could do to be safe.
So in the event of a big earthquake, I mean, I guess it depends on where you know, fissures might develop in the roadway, or you know, the potential of tsunamis. Are people, do they need to go east? Do they need to go north? Do they need to go south? I mean, is there any kind of evacuation plan or contingencies in place in case of something big?
I would say, especially if you're on the coast, know the quickest route to get to the high, to get to high ground. And even though those of us that live here in the valley, we don't live on the coast, but most of us do go and visit the coast. So just like when you go and check into a hotel, you should know how many doors down the emergency exit is. I really encourage anyone who goes and visits the coastal areas, or any time you go and travel, know what the hazards are, know what your evacuation plan is. Really, it's get to high ground, and then I would say in the valley, the evacuation will really depend on what the damage looks like. But having knowing your neighbors and knowing how to rely on each other and having some basic skills will really help people survive this event.
Certainly, folks in Brookings and Crescent City, they know all about tsunamis and the potential for the damage there. Dr. Rizzo, as you go around the state, do you think that the level of education and understanding from just regular citizens and governments is improving, maybe thanks to some of the work you're doing?
Yeah, I think awareness is improving all of the time. Like I said, this is a fairly new hazard for us here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't tend to think of Oregon as earthquake country. The real trick is getting people from awareness to action. And, you know, giving them the power to take control over whether they're going to be a victim of this event or a survivor of this event. And it's really up to them to take the steps now to get prepared for this, because afterward it's too late.
For families where they have, you know, several members and maybe the parents are off working when it happens during the day, some of the kids are in school, some are in daycare. Are there some suggestions you have on how families can reconnect, especially if the infrastructure goes down and there's no cell phones?
Sure. First of all, talking about it with each other is really important, so you know what you're going to do after an event like this. Most schools have a fairly robust safety plan, so your kids are probably fairly safe where they are for however long the school has planned to keep them. You will probably be walking or biking. After an event like this, people are going to be living what I call the island life. That's not sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais. That means you probably won't be able to drive more than 3 to 5 miles in any given direction. So people have to understand that they're going to be doing a lot of walking after this, and that may be how you get back together, is you have to walk to your prearranged rendezvous point.
As I was doing some background research on this, I came across an article from the Portland Observer from a couple of years ago. And Dr. Rizzo, you talked about this eighth grade girl in Thailand after the 2004 tsunami. It was a great story and how she saved several lives. Could you relate that story for us?
Sure. That's the story of Tilly Smith. She was a young British girl who was vacationing with her family in Thailand. And they had just covered earthquakes and tsunamis in their science class. So she knew that if she saw the ocean leaving the shore and going really far out with a huge drawdown, that could mean that a tsunami was on the way. And so she was able to convince her parents that a tsunami was probably on the way, and her parents were able to convince the hotel to evacuate the beach. And because this young girl knew, you know, one thing about a tsunami, and she spoke up about it, she was able to save over 200 people that day in 2004, when so many other people lost their lives. So just knowing one thing or taking one action during an event like this can have huge ramifications and can save lots of lives.
I'm just speculating that Japan, because of the number of earthquakes that they have probably learned some lessons. You know, hopefully they've been able to implement some of those after Fukushima. Are they doing anything in Japan that we could learn from here?
Oh, they're doing a lot of things that we could learn about here. First of all, they have very regular practices and drills on how to respond during an earthquake, drop, cover, and hold. And then if they live on the coast, They have regular tsunami evacuation drills so that people know what to do when the event happens, because it's, you know, so strong and powerful. It's often hard to think during these things. So you want your body to have that muscle memory on what to do during an event like this. They've also spent the last 50 years hardening their infrastructure. And the same thing in Chile, too, after their 1968 large earthquake. They've spent the last 50 years rebuilding their infrastructure. And they were pretty much, you know, with the exception of Fukushima, did fairly well during this earthquake. And they were back up and running within a few weeks. And so this is something that Oregon can strive to do, hardening our infrastructure, hardening our people, really, on practicing and evacuating and making sure they know what to do when the event happens.
Jessica, we have just about a minute left. Can you recap again the forums that are being held today in Jackson County and tomorrow in Josephine?
Definitely. So today, Jackson County Emergency Management will be hosting the Earthquake Preparedness Forum at the Smullen Center, which is co-located on the Rogue Regional Medical Center off of Barnett Road, from 1 to 4. And then tomorrow, Josephine County Fairgrounds, the Floral Building, from 1 to 4.
And so this is open to anybody who wants to come by and just learn a little bit more. Will you have like a question and answer session as well?
We definitely will. And tomorrow we'll be actually videotaping the session as well, and we'll post that on our website too.
All right. Our guests this morning have been Jessica Schwartz. She is the Josephine County Emergency Manager, and Dr. Althea Rizzo, who is from Oregon Emergency Management. To both of you, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Mel. Real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, coming up in our next half hour, we're going to talk a little bit about forest management, in particular the Forest Legacy Program that is available in our area to help preserve forests for the future. We will be speaking with those guests, but first, we go to the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.